24 hours a day, 7 days a week. On demand, powerful talk radio. We global, and you can't do nothing about it. BashaniRadio.com. Always talking about everything. Keep it locked. Keep it locked.
It's never been easier to start your very own radio show on Bashani Radio. Your Bashani Radio show will give you up to an hour show per week with access to over 500,000 monthly listeners. Plus, streamed to millions more on iHeartRadio, iTunes, Spotify, Google Play, and TuneIn Radio. Run your own advertisements and keep 100% of the revenue. Sign up now on BashaniRadio.com and let us set everything up for you with no setup fees. BashaniRadio.com.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever it is that you are. You are listening to Unbecome Spiritual Expansion on BashaniRadio.com and worldwide on iHeartRadio. My name is Holly Noonan. I am the host of this show. And here we have conversations on consciousness, helping you unbecome everything you're not so that you can live your most congruent, authentic, empowered life and discover your life's true purpose. And today I feel so blessed, so honored, and truly, really so privileged to have this incredible woman on the line with us having a conversation. Her name is Kashelle Davis. She's a Business Icon Award winner and top 40 under 40 leader. She's also the CEO of The Training Authority, which is an award-winning corporate and business education company that's dedicated to remarkable learning experiences, life-changing events, and powerful retreats. She's helped thousands of people to fulfill their vision, obtain mastery, and create wealth in their lives. And I know, you know, for some of you that that have subscribed to this show and that listen, you hear me quite often. I refer to Dr. Miles Monroe as someone that, you know, really was introduced to me in my life at a critical time where I was ready for a deeper message, and something that really stood out to me and connected me personally with Kashelle is the fact that she was part of Dr. Miles Monroe's mentoring program. She had a personal relationship with such an incredible man. And, you know, I personally have been connected with Kashelle through Facebook, mainly through a mutual friend of ours. And so many of her posts have really touched me, have resonated with me. I felt like I knew her when I didn't even know her, if that makes sense. And I'm sure that so many of you listening today, if you open your heart to receive the message that I know she'll have to share, you will feel the same. It's like, I feel like I know her when I don't know her. And, you know, I just wanted to offer everyone the opportunity to be able to have their life to be touched the same way that she has been able to touch mine, even just through Facebook, you know, before even getting into conversation. So first of all, I just want to make sure that you are there with us and the sound is clear. Kashelle, are you there?
I am here, Holly.
Beautiful. Well, thank you so much for taking time out of your schedule. Obviously, I'm here in Australia. You're over in the Bahamas. And, you know, I appreciate the fact that you've stayed up late to make yourself available for this. So first of all, I just want to really say thank you. And I'm looking forward to, you know, the deposits that I know you will make in the hearts of all of us, myself included, in this conversation today. So maybe if I hand over to you first and maybe just ask you to share anything you want to share about yourself so the audience can feel like they, you know, they haven't just heard about who you are, but they get a feeling as though they know you.
Thank you, Holly. You know, I describe myself as an entrepreneur and an educator. Those two pillars for me have been the biggest in my life. I love the topic of business and that whole playground. And then I believe my passion and my purpose on this earth has to do with education, teaching people all types of topics. So, you know, those are the two things that I describe myself. I'm also a wife and a mother, so I do all of the typical female things as well. And I live in the Bahamas, born and raised. You know, I love the beach. You know, Bahamians are known for the beach, and I spend most of my time If not in my business with my family, you can find me somewhere on the beach.
Right. This sounds like a dream. So tell us maybe your business journey to begin with. What was it that, you know, what was the story behind you being called to work in this space?
Right. You know, I started my first business as a teenager. So I always had business, business traits, but didn't know even then that I wanted to be an entrepreneur until later. I always knew, though, I wanted to be a teacher. My father was a teacher, and so I grew up in the household knowing about all of the things, you know, teachers go through. He taught so levels. In the system as well. So I always knew from a young age that I want to be a teacher. I didn't connecting until later on in my life. And I started my, you know, typical bank job. You know, to many people, it was a good job, you know. Right. And I stayed there for a bit, but I knew that that's not what I wanted to have, but I still was searching. At that job, I had a supervisor who got me into teaching. And from there, she got me into teaching various topics at the various banks. And that was a seed that was planted at that early stage to get really into teaching. But I always still didn't see those two connecting because I felt, you know, teachers don't make money.
Right.
that was my thought process. You know, I didn't want to work a traditional school system because I felt, you know, that there was no money there. I wanted to really live a life, you know, I like to say live a life that you dream about. You know, I wanted to have the wealth. I wanted to be able to be financially free and all of that stuff. So I never made the connection until later on when so I was introduced at that point to a business concept. It was a multi-level marketing concept, and this would have been about now 18 years ago.
Yes.
And while I didn't stay in that business, that introduced me to really a whole world on professional development, business. And it really just opened that that reservoir that was, I knew it was in me, and I haven't stopped then. So I've been in business, you know, for the last 18 years. I started my company, I've had several businesses before this one.
Yeah.
But my current company, The Training Authority, is almost 10 years old. But I've had several other businesses that led up to this one. And they've all been educational based businesses, because that's what my core is, to teach people how to really maximize their potential and build skills.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. I see that. And so, you know, something I loved when you and I just spoke a few days ago, something I loved about the message you were sharing with me then is really about the seasons that occur, not just within business, but within our life, and how you have handled and how you approach, you know, those seasons. There's seasons of seeding, there's seasons of harvest, there's seasons of rest. And I love how you spoke to me, something that just jumped out of your voice and just totally arrested my spirit. And that was, you talked about the power of the pause, you know, because it really is. I mean, to be someone like yourself, and I guess I relate, you know, when you have a lot of followers and you are, you know, you are a teacher, you are a speaker, and you serve so many people. And then what happens is, you know, it's easy for us to get caught up in feeling like, I guess the intensity of the responsibility that comes with that kind of impact and being able to serve in that way, to the point where, for me personally, you know, when seasons have come to me where it's time for me to rest, I would always feel a bit guilty about resting or about taking that time off. And I think this is a message that so many people in business anywhere, you know, and with social media these days, so many more people are really starting to work in their passions. And even if it's just at the level of creating Facebook groups and things like that, I love seeing how many people really are aligning themselves with work they're passionate about. But in that, like I say, you just feel like, you know, you can get a bit burnt out because once you've got an audience, you feel like, you know, it's almost like the audience can almost hold you hostage to having to. So explain that to us. How do you see that? What's your advice for people out there that are in positions of leadership and impact? How do they still honor their own personal journey as well as serve the masses in that way?
Yeah, you know, I you know, we spoke about it, Wendy. He spoke this. And you're right. Social media, you know, have to be.
All right.
Okay,
my apologies. We've just had some connection issues there, and I think I've sorted it all out now. So apologies to those out there who are listening. Stay with us. You know, this is a sign, I believe, of the power of this conversation. It's mm-hmm. never. It's never an accident that in the most powerful conversations that, you know, the enemy or the opposite energy out there is trying to interfere with the flow of this. So apologies for the interruptions, but I think we've got it sorted now. So sorry, Kashel, if I can hand it back over to you and you can start with the answer of that question again.
Sure. I just want to say, you know, Holly, I could totally relate to some of the biggest transformations that came from persons who sat in my audiences at my events. You will be amazed at what I went through to host the event. It seems as though, you know, the enemy does know when something big is about to happen. So
yes,
I wanted to mention that. But I was saying, you know, we are so caught up with the social media phase that we feel as if we have to be on all the time. And then you add passion to that. Passion is that fire, that driver that keeps you going. But if we're not careful, we can move too far, too long, and forget to take care of ourselves. And I learned that a few years back. You know, I like to say I'm a recovering workaholic, right? So I know what it is to be so engaged, so passionate, so committed to serving and doing what it is that I knew that I was born to do, and working 24 hours almost, you know, Sunday to Sunday, I was working on my business, in my business, doing something. And then that's what led me to that point. And I shared with you the whole note that I tagged you in when we spoke earlier in the week.
Yes.
Where I got to a place where I just felt like, there was nothing in me. I was totally empty. I was totally depleted. I knew in my mind that I should be working. People expected things from me. You know, people knew that when they saw Kishel, she is either doing something or about to do something. And that was really the brand or the reputation that I had. But I got to a point where it all had to stop because I was tired.
Mm-hmm.
I was out of steam, as I kind of described it. And it was a struggle for me at that time because I did not want it, but my body, my mind, my spirit, just all forced me to stop.
Right.
And in the moment, after the fact or kind of coming out of it, I learned, you know, speaking to a mentor of mine and a coach of mine, she told me about the power of the pause and what I shared with you. And then looking back after so many years, I realized just how valuable that period of that downtime was in my life, because it taught me again how to stop, rest, take care of yourself, make sure that your cup is full, don't give from an empty cup. And we hear those things, but, you know, it's so difficult to really live it when you're so passionate about what you're doing.
Yes.
And since that time, and again, it hasn't been easy because, again, I'm a go-getter. I love to.
Yes.
But I have really learned, and I have to give thanks to some coaches who have helped me kind of get down from the constant work. And then my husband, who kind of been a good balance to me, who tells me when to stop, even when I don't feel like stopping. Uh-huh. And so that entire process, I've come to a season now where I know what it is to stop and rest.
Right.
And there are times when I deactivate my accounts from Facebook and from social media just to give myself time away. And I'm always amazed at how rejuvenated I feel when I do that. Yes, things fall through the cracks. Yes, there's some level of anxiety that, boy, am I going to miss something?
Yes.
But I always feel like, you know what, in order for me to give my best to others, I have to give my best to myself first.
I love that. And isn't it true that, you know, it's like the story that our ego just wants to feed us, that if we take a break, we'll lose the momentum, we'll lose everything we've done up until that point, you know, because our ego or the enemy wants us tired, wants us exhausted, right? To be able to interfere with that power. But then when you come back from that rest, everyone's still there. Everyone's like waiting for you, right? It's not as if you've lost your audience.
Exactly. I told you that I think I mentioned it, I took a 3-week vacation last month. So I was pretty much in vacation mode for the month of January. And so this week was my first week back in the groove. And so I started to touch base with everyone, you know, and I'm a part of this coaching group. And I said, okay, did I miss anything major?
Yeah.
And they said, not really.
Right.
Okay, well, good, you know. And it's so interesting that the last week of my vacation, I felt so rested and so rejuvenated that I was so eager to get back and get to work.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Because I allowed myself to fully relax at 100%. And I think I heard it from the book, one of my favorite books by Roger Hamilton, called Your Life, Your Legacy. And he talks about being able to go in seasons and the rhythms. Mm. And in order to work at 100% at your peak, you want to do that, and I'm so ready to get back in the game.
Wow. Yeah, that is powerful. What did you say the book was called again? Sorry.
It's called Your Life, Your Legacy, right, by Roger James Hamilton.
Right. Okay. Awesome. I love that. For some reason, I just had to make sure I caught that. I feel like that's maybe a book that's calling to me as well. So what has been, what for you has been the biggest challenge? You know, where has been your personal deepest vulnerability and something that you have had to, that mindset doesn't help, you know, in business or in success or you know, anytime. It's like at one level, we can work at the level of the mind, but there's another level, there's a deeper level that your mind doesn't help. It's like, it doesn't matter how good you get at controlling your thoughts or how good you are, at, you know, listening to the right audios. It's like a heaviness, something in your spirit, and it's something that your mind can't help you with, if that makes sense. You know, have you had any of those kind of situations, and what do you do to you know, to move through those? Are those the times that you take your rest, or are those the times that you work through? You know, for the person out there that is, you know, like you say, a workaholic, and you know, always just pushing and pushing and driving and driving and sacrificing and sacrificing, and no matter what they try and do at the level, at the mental level, there's a heaviness in their spirit that they just can't shift. What has that been like for you, and how have you worked through that or dissolved that or worked around that?
Yeah. That's such a good question, Holly. And, you know, I believe there's a very thin line between pushing, going hard, being persistent, determined, and then also knowing when to back away and be still and let go and let God, as we say.
Yes.
And I think it really just comes with experience, one, and two, just looking at the situation individually, you know, in order to make that decision. I always like to say there is a knowing. We all have that knowing thing in ourselves where we just know.
Yes.
Some people call it the gut. Some people call it intuition. It's the Holy Spirit, whatever you call it. There's a knowing when, okay, you know what? I need to back away from this. Mm-hmm. Or, you know what? I need to just push past those limitations. Know when it's a limitation, and then find a mentor, find a coach, find someone to talk you through those blocks.
Right.
And it was really, you have to make that decision. At least for me, I've had to make that decision. On a case-by-case basis.
Yep.
There have been times in my business where things were done, maybe an event was planned, a workshop was planned, a speaker was invited over, just various things over my career, and I just didn't feel it. You know, I just didn't, that knowing, that intuition, I just was not feeling like it should have been done. And so there are times when I've canceled events, I've put events off.
Wow.
Because I didn't feel that it was the right time. And that's how I can describe it.
I get it. I relate.
Then you, yeah, and you don't know, sometimes you don't know what. You don't know why, but just feel like, okay, this is not it. Until afterwards, you realize, when looking back, you realize just why, you know.
Right.
It was in time.
Exactly. It always makes sense when you look at it backwards, right? You can always understand life backwards, but you have to live it forwards, but it can only be understood backwards. And, you know, that's a question I get asked a lot as well. And I'd love to, you know, hand it over to you and see what your answer to the question is. And something that you know, has been key for me is the ability to be able to discern when it's, when it's like the universe redirecting me versus, you know, being redirected versus being tested. When, you know, people say to me all the time, how do you know whether what's happening for you, whether the distractions that are showing up or even these feelings that are showing up, how do you know they're real? How do you know they're not counterfeit? How do you know it's not just a test that you have to work through to see if you're ready for what you're saying you want versus, no, it's not a test this time. It's a redirection. This is a sign to say, no, this is not a path. You know, what is that for you? It's so hard to find language to articulate it because it is a feeling. For me, I've always said, I always look for peace. When I know it's, when I can, even if it's challenging, if beneath the pain and the challenge, I feel a sense of peace, then I know that that's the path. But if I'm looking at a particular path or a test or a redirection or whatever, and it's nothing but pain and challenge with no sense of peace, then that's how I know that's not the path. But, you know, I would love to hear, you know, how you relate to that and what you do, you know, how you could explain that to someone else out there who may be pushing through things they shouldn't be pushing through or who aren't taking the redirections when they're being called another way because they're seeing it as a test to push through every time.
You know, I smile because you hit the nail on the head, Holly, and that's how I look at it as well. You know, in one of Dr. Miles's book, The Power and Purpose of Vision, I encourage every single person to read it. I actually developed an entire workshop around that single book.
Yes.
It's such an amazing book. And he talks about 12 keys to realize your vision.
Right.
And there's two keys that tie into what you're saying, and I live these principles. And the first one is process, recognizing that, you know, the difficulties, the challenges, the roadblocks, all of that is a part of the process. So you should expect that. You should expect some level of challenge.
Yep.
Because that is what's meant to build your character, build strength, build your resilience, all of that stuff, and that helps you to prepare you for what is to come.
Right.
However, you know, the second principle that he talks about out of the 12 is connection.
Mm.
connection to the source of that vision, that goal, and that dream. You know, for me, it's God. For other persons, it might be something else. But being so connected to the source, because the dream is really, it's coming through us.
Yes.
But it's not from us.
It's from us, yes, yes.
Right? And so there are times when, you know, I've been on that line where, you know, trying to decide whether to keep pushing or be still. And you're right, there is a peace. You and you said it, it's very difficult to play, Holly.
Yes.
It's you just know you should be moving forward. Still, I love to talk to God, and I like to say, okay, God, you know, you must see. You know, I just go. You know, and over the whole process, he will remind you of that.
Yeah.
He will say to you, okay, let go, handle it. And then you will get the clues. And for me, clues come in so many different ways. It may come from a conversation that I have. It may come from someone reaching out to me and saying, keep up the good work. Don't stop doing what you're doing. And I see those as clues of God saying to me, okay, keep moving in the direction.
Right.
Or sometimes when I let go, the thing that I was struggling with and pushing hard to accomplish, suddenly when I let go, it's been done.
Wow, that's
and another conversation, you know, you want to have, because sometimes God wants us to not be the one to do it, just trust in the fact that he will get it done for us in his way and not in our way.
Yeah, that's a big point, Kishel. I'm so glad you said that, because that's my biggest lesson, was the lesson mm-hmm. of learning how to surrender my yes. plan for the plan, you know, to mm-hmm. understand that, you know, it's okay to have intent. What I've learned now and how I live my life now is with intentions, but not with an agenda. I'm always careful of, and when I see myself slipping, that's how I slip. I start creating Holly's agendas. But when I'm on my own agenda, it's like there's no space for the bigger plan. And that's something that, you know, like you say, coming from the world of being an entrepreneur and being so clear on your vision and creating, you know, steps to get there, sometimes those steps don't belong, because when we're too focused on having our own steps, there is no space for source or God or the universe to play its role in the exactly. process. And so that's been a big lesson for me. I'm so glad you raised that.
Yeah, and you know, it still amazes me to this day when it happens, because I can remember times when, you know, I'm pushing to get a client, or you know, I'm working on a deadline and it's not working, and I decide that, you know, in the morning I'll go to the beach and spend time on the beach, just reveling in the nature, and just letting go and talking to God, and then as I get back home to my office, the client that I've been trying to follow up for the last 2-3 weeks just out of the blue sent me an email when I'm
yes.
not doing anything.
I get that. Or either it happens with that person, or you're planting seeds in one area, and we spoke about this the other day, you know,
yeah.
you make this particular mm-hmm. thing happen and it just won't happen, but all of a sudden these people or this project you haven't even been working on all of a sudden pops up. It's like, you know, the yeah. clients you're trying to get are showing resistance, but all of a sudden out of nowhere, it's like you get these other clients that you weren't even thinking about. And it's like,
yeah.
I wasn't even planting seeds over there. How did the harvest show up where I wasn't yeah. even seeding? And, you know, that's another lesson we spoke about the other day, and that I realized is that, you always reap what you sow, but so yeah. often you don't reap where you sow it. You sow over
right.
here, but you reap over there.
Mm-hmm. Pastor Miles used to use the analogy of trees. You know, he said, I don't remember where in the Bible, but he said, you know, God said, you can eat off any tree. And he was talking to Adam and Eve in the garden, and we so, as humans, we are so focused on one that the food that but God says we can eat off any tree, and that any tree can come from anywhere, you know. And so it's about being focused on what we want, but also flexible in how it comes.
Yeah. Yes. Yes. Absolutely. Maybe that's so true, being flexible on how it comes. And I guess just getting back to the topic of vision, if we can, you mentioned it before and, you know, I just was loving what you were saying. So we kind of went sidetracked. But what do you see? What is vision to you? Where does it come from? How do we harvest it? What is your whole message around vision? I'm trying to think. I don't know if it's Pastor Miles or if it's T.D. Jakes, but one of them says something like, God doesn't make chairs, he makes trees. You have to be able to see the tree, you know, look at a tree and see the chair. But God doesn't make a chair, he makes the tree. And, you know, that was something that really resonated with me. I think, even in that audio or the book you're talking about before of Dr. Miles Monroe around, you know, vision and purpose. And he says, you know, it takes someone to be able to, you know, drive through the Bronx and see a city kind of a thing. You know, that's what vision is. And what is it to you?
Vision is being able to see what's possible in any situation. You know, it's being able to see the future of a thing or of a person. And I love Pastor Miles's, he talked about our dreams and visions in this quote that I always use. And he says, the poorest person in the world is a person without a dream and a vision. And I truly believe that we all have some vision, some dream inside of us. For some, it may be buried or under, you know, life and circumstances. But we all have something that we desire, that we want to see in our future. And it's up to us and our responsibility to manifest. And I believe our vision and our dreams comes from our passion and our purpose. The things that we are passionate about, the things that we desire, the things that we would like to see happen, or the things that we were born on this planet to do, our vision is tied to that.
You know, let me ask you a question here, and I know this will hit a lot of people because I deal with this so often in my workshops, and, you know, hundreds of people ask. And something I find, you know, people, they're working on a vision and they've been working on it a long time, and it's not happening. It doesn't matter what they do, it's not happening. And so often when I get the chance to work one-on-one with these clients, what I realize is, what you thought you were working on, you thought that was your vision, but it wasn't. That wasn't a vision that was given to you by source or by God. That was a vision you had created based on, more often than not, what you thought you needed to do to be approved of and loved by your parents. That's typically a lot of where it comes from. You know, people think, oh, I've got this vision, I want to do this. And it's like, you know, the reason that you haven't been able to manifest that after all these years of working and there's roadblocks everywhere you turn is because that vision isn't yours. It doesn't belong to you. That's something you created as a vision because it's coming from, I guess, a place of pain and, you know, needing to be approved of by, you know, most often it's their parents. So how do you know, what would you say to that so many people think they're working on a vision that is their vision, but it's a goal that they've created versus a goal or a vision that's been created for them, if that makes sense? How do you know the difference, and what would you say are the signs for people to know, is this the vision? Is this the dream that belongs to me? Or is this just a dream that I've created to use as a tool, you know, to be able to access the love and approval that I'm looking for?
Yeah, you know, that's such a loaded question, Holly. The first thing that comes to mind is there is a difference between ambition and vision. And Pastor Miles talks about this as well in his book, where, you know, ambition is things that we want, the things that we want in our future that really just benefits us.
Okay.
You know, the big car, the lifestyle that we want, et cetera. And that people may see that that's a vision. You know, I have a vision to have a second home and you know, different places. But that's my ambition. Your vision is always tied to helping others, other people, to empowering other people. So that's one of the signs that you'll know whether you have just really an ambition or a true vision.
I get that.
I think that all the Dream Board Party experience here in the Bahamas. And I can't tell you how many people, and that event has served, I think, close to 1,000 people over the last few years. And I can't tell you how many people who suffer or struggle with that very same thing, where they have this goal that has been given to them by people's right. expectations, or even by their limiting factors, where they feel as if I'm not worthy or capable yes. of having my true vision, so I would settle for this, whatever right. this is. And I say to people all of the time, your true vision will consistently nag you.
Yes.
You will not be settled in your soul until you begin to work towards that vision that you know that should be yours. And when I do my coaching, it happens all of the time. I said, okay, what is your desire? What do you want? And sometimes for some people, it takes asking them that question 3 and 4 and 5 times after peeling the onion to get to what it is that they truly want and what lights them up, you know? And so for persons, you have to know, you may have goals that seems to be good to work towards, it's easy to work towards, it's something to work towards, but that thing that you keep putting off, that keeps nagging at you, that you perhaps feel afraid by,
yes,
or intimidated by, the thing that you say, what, that cannot happen, that's not me, I can't do that, but it never leaves you, that's your true vision.
I totally resonate. And for me, it was like, I almost couldn't believe that was it. I'm like, no, that can't be it. It's not what I like. I don't, you know, I was so programmed in this other way that, that nagging vision for, I would say for me personally, it was like smacking me in the face for maybe 9, 10, 12 months before I went, really? I was like, really? No, it's not. Like that must be my ego trying to just, you know, distract me, because I had never even thought of working in that area. It wasn't, I'm just like, how would that be meant for me? That it's not even on my radar. But it's so funny that when I surrendered to what was nagging at me and I just moved in that direction, what can I say? The fulfillment, the feeling of significance, and the instant like audience that showed up for that message that I didn't even try and create was just like, it was just there waiting for me to be able to move that way.
It was waiting for you, literally.
Yes. Absolutely. Was it the same for you? Did you have a similar experience?
You know, and that's how that, you know, I one of the things that I teach is once you get clear on your vision, you get clear on the potential to achieve it. So I remember when I, you know, a few years back when I was sitting down and I was asking God, okay, what is next for me? What do you have for me to do? And I remember sitting on the beach and he just started to download, you know, I guess this huge vision.
Yeah.
And I immediately got afraid.
Yeah.
Like, no. That's,
yes,
that's
me too. Nah.
Like, you know, that's not me. But that tells you that it exactly works for you, because your vision also helps you to become another person.
Yes. Yeah.
You know, you're not the person you need to be in order to achieve that vision. That vision helps you to become who you need to be to fulfill it. And I remember feeling in my gut, I'm like, no, this is going to be a big one.
Yeah.
But exactly what it is, because I think, again, I'm a student of Pastor Miles, and he talked about if you, and I know I'm paraphrasing now, but if you are not afraid or you feel that you can do it by yourself, that is not the true vision.
Oh my gosh, that same sentence was just sitting in my soul ready to say the same thing. I was just going to say the true vision is not something that you can do by yourself. It absolutely requires the higher power, whatever anyone, you know, calls that source, like you say. Yeah. You cannot do it on your own. It requires some kind of orchestrated, you know, circumstances that is beyond your ability to put together.
Yeah. And from a practical standpoint, you know, I was having a similar conversation with my husband probably some months back, where, you know, again, his goal is to achieve his PhD, and he's had that goal, and he's just about done, and he's had that goal for many, many years, just on the finish line. And for him, that is his ultimate goal.
Yes.
But, you know, question to him was, and anyone I can have conversation with about it, that's a goal, but what is the vision behind that goal? Why are you pursuing that degree? It has to be something behind it,
right?
It has to be a why that should inspire you, that's bigger than you. And I think that people mix the two up or confuse the two.
Yes, that makes so much sense. Yep, absolutely. Yep, I hear you. Look, I would love to talk to you for another 3.5 hours. I really would. Like, and I feel like, see, this is what happens. We just get on this like topic that starts
with
vision and purpose. And, you know, maybe we could have you back on the show, you know, in another few weeks, maybe to talk about literally the power of vision and purpose. And I'm the same. It's so funny that you say that you build a whole workshop around, you know, Pastor Miles's book on that. I've not read the book, but I listened to the audio, and I did the same thing. It was so heavy in my spirit at that time that the following workshop I did on that, and you know, I gave full credit to him. I said, hey, I'm just basically gonna regurgitate some messages that have been sitting in my soul that came from him, because I feel like, you know, that's what needs to be spoken about here. And exactly what you say, the testimonies that came out of that, even for months later, were just, you know, profound. It's something that you couldn't create on your own. So I would love to, you know, maybe do a whole show just on, you know, purpose and the power of vision. That would be, you know,
I would love.
We touched on it a bit here, but I think we could talk for so much longer on that.
Yeah, I would love it. I think so much more people need to hear the power, hear that message. You know, so many people are just living lives in the rut, you know, they're going about their daily lives, and they're unsatisfied, they're unfulfilled, but they want something more but don't know how to get it. So that message needs to resonate with more and more people.
Yes, absolutely. Well, thank you so much, as I said, for being available, and not just for being available, but thank you, Kishel, for everything that you've had to go through, for weathering your storms, for, you know, resting in those seasons that you were called to rest in, so that you could be this full to be able to pour so much on those of us who, you know, have the privilege of being able to feed from your tree. You know, you've really worked on being able to do what was necessary to ripen your fruit. And that requires going through all seasons. So thank you for the courage and the commitment it takes to be so committed to your personal journey so that you can serve the way that you do, and we can all, you know, get so much value from you. I just want to hand over to you, I guess, that last time, just if there's anything, you know, a final message you might have for the audience, or you know, even I know that some people are sitting there probably going, I need to reach out to her, I need to get in touch with her, I don't know why, I just want to connect. So how can people find you, how can people connect with you, and you know, if there is any final message you'd love to leave, please do so.
You know, I just want to leave the full quote that I always start my workshop with or end my workshops with, and I mentioned a bit of it earlier, and it's the quote by Dr. Miles Monroe, and it says, the poorest person in the world is a person without a dream. And he goes on to say that the most frustrated person in the world is a person with a dream that doesn't become a reality. And so those of you who are listening to this message and know that you have something in your heart, a desire that you want to be fulfilled, the only way you will feel fulfilled is if you were to fulfill that vision and that dream. And do whatever it takes, whether it's reaching out to someone, taking that first step, but don't stay stagnant. Make that first step.
Beautiful. Beautiful. How can people connect with you, Kishelle? Do you have social media, or is there anything in particular? Do you have a website that they can go to be able to get access to you?
Yes. So you can follow me on all of the social media, Kishelle Davis. That's K-E-S as in Sam, H-E-L-L-E, Davis. I'm on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, LinkedIn. Or you can go to my website, Kishelle Davis, and you have access to what I do as well.
Okay, beautiful, beautiful. Well, thank you again for your time. And, I'm definitely going to take you up on that offer to come back on the show, and we'll do a big show on nothing but vision and purpose.
Yes, I would love that.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Holly.
And for those of you listening, as I always say, don't ever leave here the same person you were when you got here. You were called to hear this today for some reason. So allow it to touch you, allow it to change you. And in doing so, it takes a lot of courage. It takes courage to be able to let go of something that you thought was a vision that really isn't yours. It's someone else's that you are using as a tool to be approved of or whatever. This whole journey takes courage. So please, as you depart from here today, depart from here with courage. The courage to believe in a better way. The courage to voice what you've got to say. The courage to thrive when times are tough. And above all else, the courage to know you are good enough. Goodbye, everyone.
24 hours a day, 7 days a week. On demand, powerful talk radio. We global, and you can do nothing about it. BashaniRadio.com. Always talking about everything. Keep it locked.